Hey everyone, welcome to Myopia Movies. This week we are back to our regular schedule. No more special episodes for a while at least. But we're revisiting a kind of monster horror movie starring Daniel Stern, of all people, called Leviathan. Leviathan, yes. Anyway, thanks for indulging our 400 and 401st episodes. They were a big hit, and we appreciate you for that. We hit near the top of the movie charts in the United States for the first time in a while, in the top 100. So that's all you, and I appreciate it. Anyway, thank you for doing all you do. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for subscribing, and thanks for being yourself. Bye, everyone.
Hi, I'm Nick Hoffman, and this week we're watching made-for-TV Alien. We're watching, what did we decide, 1989?
Yeah.
1989's Leviathan, which I'm saying specifically 1989 because there was apparently a 2014 movie called Leviathan, which is not what we watch. You
Correct.
Might like it. It's not that one. We're watching the one with Daniel Stern staring at titties for half of it.
That's true.
Which is, and he goes, "What a great pair," which, you know, which is a compliment I think is perfectly inappropriate for the workplace. But she's like, "You're talking about my boobs, aren't you?" And he goes, "Kinda." And I mean, he was honest.
He was.
Which is true. I'm your host, Nick Hoffman, riffer on Cineprov, and I'm the guy on the ones and twos, and on panel we have
horror author Matthew W. Quinn. Check out my book, The Thing in the Woods. There are tentacles in that one too.
Hmm.
Also rip off of The Thing.
It's true.
And I'm giving Nick the finger. He's and, read it. He should know better.
And comedian host myself, Candace Wasolowski. You can find me at the Plaza Theater doing Rocky, doing Cineprov, and Piedmont Road. Come on down to Felix's. It's a gay bar. I do gay trivia. It's fabulous.
The gayest of trivias. Also an instrumentalist.
Yeah, that's true.
And I want you to plug them because they were in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yeah, so I was so proud that the Queer Big Apple Corps was in the Macy's parade here just yesterday. They are part of the Pride Alliance Bands of America, of which I'm a member. I play French horn for them. And I'm hoping that someday we too can go as the Pride Alliance Bands, which has like over 700 members, and we can march strong in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. That's really the pinnacle for all marching band kids.
Yeah, I've done it.
I mean, if you've hit it to the, if you do it, you've hit the mountaintop.
I marched in Macy's.
Did you really?
I did. We
oh
were
my
the
God.
Santa
that makes
band.
Me, that makes you even hotter than you already are. I can't stand it.
Yeah, oh my.
In 2000, Christmas 2003, we marched and we were the Santa band. So we played our bit and we parted for Santa to come through
oh
right at the middle.
Oh my God, you're so lucky.
Yeah. It was fun. And I will say, I doffed my cap to, it's an NBC production, but NBC does a good job of actually showing the marching bands, which, again, I'm not a huge football guy, but I watched a decent amount. They always cut away. NBC shows the bands, and good on them for doing it, because as a band guy myself, we put in a lot of hard fucking work.
That's true.
And they do it. So we're here to talk about tentacles, because Matt insisted. So, Matt, can you give us the plot synopsis of Leviathan?
Welcome to the Cold War era AFL-CIO's favorite horror movie, because it's anti-corporate and anti-Soviet.
Ooh. So is Alien, man. I'm telling you, this is just a knockoff.
In an underwater mining facility 2 miles down abyss,
Abyss came out after this.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they had some sort of mole in the Abyss production to put this out quick.
Actually, there was probably about six productions that same year that all had this same concept. There was the Riff, the Abyss,
Deep
it came
Star,
from the deep.
Deep Star 6.
Deep Star 6, yeah. So this was a theme. This is kind of like when, you know, a Western comes out and like 20 other production companies also make a Western.
When
this is
Ants
the
and A Bug Life come out the same year, when Deep Impact and Armageddon come out
exactly.
the same year.
Exactly. It's that same vibe. Yeah,
was so this the same year when that Russian video of people drilling to hell came out? It could have been that.
Maybe.
Yeah, so yeah, so a group of underwater silver miners led by RoboCop and
Peter Weller.
Yeah, and someone from Rambo 3, you said?
No, from all the Rambo movies. Krenna, Richard Krenna.
Then the walking HR nightmare known as Six Pack, played by Daniel Stern, find a sunken Soviet freighter, Leviathan. Dun, 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 dun.
First of all, he's a breast connoisseur.
He is.
And
let that be saying of us and all of us.
Who isn't?
And Six Pack and all his infinite wisdom decides to drink some of the vodka from the ship safe and then share it with his frenemy, Bowman. And then shit gets real. Because the commies were experimenting on their own sailors by feeding them mutagen in their vodka. And so we end up with a jungle rot that turns into a fish monster.
First of all, I don't know when this episode comes out because I'm not paying attention to myself. And I'm the one who set the schedule up. Not pornography. Leviathan, you're coming out. So about a month and a half ago, we did X-Files, I Want to Believe. This is an X-Files episode.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, totally.
Someone drinks the wrong vodka. Yeah. Oh no, Gromit, it's the wrong vodka. And then they turn into a monsterman? A monsterman that's ripped right off of a John Carpenter movie?
Yeah.
This is an X... Oh my God, Mulder, it turns out that he merged with the dog. Like...
And retain conscious as all time because I think there's a screaming face in this thing's shoulder at one point.
And I tell you what,
yes, it's like some Warhammer 40K shit here.
It is. This is Space Marines to the 10th degree.
And you know what, though? I mean, as much as I love Paul Verhoeven and Starship Troopers, I love a good Space Marine. Just toss him into shit. Like, this is great. Weird shit. Where's the weird space gun? Mm-hmm. And you can make up whatever science nonsense you need. Oh man, we are 200 mama blahs on. We're 200 like plot units under the sea. I need a special gun to shoot him. Who cares? Great, I'm in for it.
You start having the singing crab do Under the Sea, and then the fish monster just eats him.
Almost the same year, I think Little Mermaid came out in the late 80s too.
And then maybe he can eat Ursula too. Oh, that good. Might make him a bit sick.
If Ursula was the final villain and then it came up with Hero Dreams of Sushi was the hero, better movie.
Oh my.
So we're talking Leviathan. Now, Matt, this is not me throwing you under the bus because I enjoyed this movie. How'd you come across this? Like,
I probably saw it in the video store when I was a little kid because a lot of my childhood was going to video stores and finding movies that had really good cover art that weren't allowed to rent. Sure. And eventually I saw it on TV at our friend Brandon's house. And I think it must have been TNT or something.
So when did you first see it?
I must have been probably in late elementary or middle school, maybe, because it was edited for TV and my parents didn't care.
Oh, so you saw it like on Sci-Fi or some nonsense?
Either Sci-Fi or TNT. This was a very long time ago. I can't remember.
This is a very TNT vibe.
Yeah, I actually talked to Brandon this afternoon, and he said he saw Leviathan on TV Guide or something, almost emailed me, because he remembers it.
Well, and if you told me this was a sci-fi something or other, I would have believed you. Because, again, it just is, it's what we would generally call a chamber drama. Like, they're all trapped and then monsters come out. But, like, this is the same dude who directed Cobra, previous episode, Rambo First Blood Part 2, which is the one where it starts getting nonsense, and Tombstone.
Tombstone, that's who I was thinking of.
And isn't Stan Winston, didn't Stan Winston make the fish man?
Yeah, he did the special effects.
Yeah, so this is already orders of magnitude better than a sci-fi original movie because that's all the CGI nonsense.
Well,
I stole one of your catchphrases. Dun, 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 dun.
Well, you're fine. Dude, that's what happens when you're around
much and the
charisma.
Music was done by Jerry Goldsmith.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have an actual person. And again.
You have a real person who's actually an amazing composer.
Well, and so when I forget who said it, I'm going to give it to Matt right now. But there's something fascinating about when studios try to undercut each other because they don't skimp, right? Because, I'm releasing this now because by the point we're talking about this, I want Avatar to have failed colossally. But Jim Cameron is notorious for taking too much time and too much money on everything he does. Yeah. And The Abyss was a utter disappointment. Previous episode, you can look us up. We talked about Abyss. But Abyss cost too much money.
Spoiler, I love The Abyss.
Oh, I think it's a great movie.
Yeah, it is.
But it lost money. Richard Harris punched the dude in the face.
He did.
And the pacing of it is super slow because he wanted to make 2001 Underwater. They wanted an action movie like Terminator or something. They didn't get it, and the movie lost almost half its budget, and that put him in...
But it was still considered the most successful of all those underwater-type adventure films
of the year. So all of them failed?
And you know, actually, in fact, it won an Academy Award for Best Visual Effects that year.
No, it was critically liked.
Yes.
It's just that the people didn't care.
Hmm.
I mean, and, dude, I'm not judging it for that. Oh. Because what Jim Cameron has is an interesting director's touch. It's just that when you take... Okay, and Daniel, I know you're editing this and you're not here, so I'm going to just keep talking so you can edit this out. But at the moment, Avatar 2... Okay, Avatar 2 has to be the fifth most profitable movie of all time to break even.
Oh. Well, you know, for Abyss, it took $47 million to make it, and it ended up making $90 million in the box office.
Okay.
So it did okay. I mean, it wasn't what they thought it would be, but it made money for them.
Can you look up Leviathan? Let's see how that did.
Yeah, well, I can.
And I will say, while Candace is looking that up, that doesn't generally include advertisement.
Oh, okay.
And so, like...
That's true.
Like, and Abyss, I even remember the ads. You ever have a terrible teacher? In middle school, I liked the teacher, but they clearly were done for the day, so they showed us Abyss as a science movie.
James Cameron came with the idea for the Abyss in high school, doing a class on liquid breathing. So yeah, I thought you were talking about your teacher showing you Leviathan in class. I'm like, where in the hell did they come up with that?
So these are tits, and these are good tits. So we're going to show Leviathan.
Right.
I mean, that's a scientific documentary. We just watched the music video for Why Don't You Love Me, David Duchovny. We saw some good boobs in there.
We did.
Science.
Science boobs.
Science boobs.
Totally
this and this movie has commie bioweapon boobs.
And I will throw out there for those of you who are in TV land here, there's a show called The Whitest Kids You Know, which is one of the funnier sketch comedy groups I've ever seen. But they have a sketch called Real or Not, and there's just a scientist looking at a girl in a bikini and go, they're a fake. And everyone applauds, and it's very funny. Anyway.
I'm having a really hard time finding out, because... Everything about Leviathan is telling me that it made $19 million. And I know way more to make that film. And no, so I'm like...
Leviathan, I think, was a... I think they were shooting somewhere in the middle of the night and they didn't tell anyone. Although
they probably snuck onto the set. Well, like when James Cameron wasn't around. Actually, I did read about how they shot this film. Most of it was done on a stage, like in a stage set. Mm-hmm. And... the underwater scenes, not most of it wasn't underwater. It was done with a perspective view behind a aquarium.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I will say, first of all, if there is a porno parody called The Abyss and it's just a woman named The Abyss, I mean, that's pretty funny. Also, for this, the cast is incredible. I mean,
is amazing.
We already mentioned that Peter Weller is, of course, RoboCop. Is the captain, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Richard Crenna, who is the colonel from all the Rambo movies, is the doc, Doc Thompson.
Yeah.
Daniel Stern is on here. He's six-pack. But also from Ghostbusters, from The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, Ernie
and previous
Hudson.
Episode Congo, too.
Yeah. Ernie Hudson is so good in this,
dude,
by the way.
He's fucking
amazing.
Incredible. Because he's just like a heavy, he's a he's your strong-jawed like hero type. You also have Hector Elizondo, the Hispanic guy, his death, holy shit, is so good.
We also have Michael Carmine, who we meet very early on in the episode, his breathing apparatus is going out inside the rebreather isn't working. And he is in, of course, one of my favorite movies of all time, which is Batteries Not Included.
Yeah. R.I.P. because he died the year this came out.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he died in 89.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's really sad. How did he die? Do you know?
I'm looking at IMDb. I have no answers, only other questions. But he's really good at this because he's panicking. He has a secret pony, or he's a secret rat tail, which shows up halfway through this movie. And holy shit, it's so good. Matt is more interested in looking up than what he has answers for.
He was 30 years old when he passed away, y'all.
Yeah.
Apparently, the movie may have only been released in the U.S. and Italy. That might explain the low numbers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we also should mention while we're here, There's a woman named Miss Martin, excuse me, who is like the head of the company.
She's Evil Lyn.
Yeah, she's Evil Lyn.
She's Evil Lyn from Masters of the Universe. Episode. Yes.
More recently, she's been in everything Rob Zombie has directed, including Lords of Salem and 31. She's also Holly in They Live, which is a total stay tuned and a great episode. But she's the Paul Reiser role from the Aliens movies.
Yes.
Which is really a strange choice. If only that Paul Reiser dies because the Xenomorph gets him. And here, Peter Weller just punches her in the goddamn face. Which is just like, you want to end your movie strong, you punch a woman in the face during the Reagan administration.
Yeah, and then you just Bush go straight to credits. Don't ask any questions.
Fight the power, dude.
Yeah.
Something even if like it's that. Wearing a pantsuit.
That's right. With shoulder
I'm
pads.
So glad you survived in the snot hurricane. Pow! Right in the kisser.
Yeah.
Oh, God help me. Okay, so if you've seen Alien, you know the plot of this. Except for... currently, the version on my screen is called Leviathan, which is a documentary about a woman who has sex with a guy with a huge penis. So I think I clicked on the wrong movie.
Or did you? Can we watch that one? Can I rewatch this and then give another synopsis?
Ironically, Daniel Stern stars in both of them.
Oh, never mind.
Can you imagine hilarious sex?
Yes.
Because nothing makes an erection harder than laughing so hard.
Oh, my God.
But I mean... Daniel Stern has a mug in this that has a nipple on it. I don't know if you noticed that. I also love...
I didn't notice that. Do I need to come around?
Yep.
Let me come look at this nipple.
Oh, also...
I'm an expert on nipples. Oh, shit, he does have a nipple cup. Yes.
That would be the cup size.
That's a good A cup. I'm here for it.
Which in Starbucks we'd call a venti.
Yeah. Yeah, Daniel Stern's character is the most obnoxious person in the universe.
Yeah, he really is.
But I also love how this set just looks like it's not the Alien set. It's like the Alien ride from MGM Studios and Disney. Because it's like everything is there, but it's like 20% more plastic looking than the Cameron version. I also love, and this is a trope that only exists in the 80s, and it can't be real, but like, I have female coworkers. The idea that you put pornography on the walls and just tape it up with scotch tape. It's like it ended the minute Clinton ended office. Like if you had a movie from 84 to 91, it was in every movie and then they stopped it. I don't know what happened, but it's just so funny. Because that scene where Sigourney Weaver is beating up the robot in Alien. There's pornography everywhere.
Doesn't he try to choke her out on a porno magazine?
Right. And he starts to shove a Playboy down her throat until...
It's actually just to show you the demise of print media.
That's right. That's true.
You know what I mean? Because let's face it. People weren't getting their porn off print anymore.
That's true.
Right?
You can't choke someone on 4chan.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I would not be weirded out by random pornography. If I was in a situation where, like these people, they're living, because this isn't just they're working, they're living down there for several months, would I be surprised if some dude had pornography? Let me check my list. No.
I will say, though, I'd hope they don't tape it to the wall in the public places.
Yeah, have some class at least.
I think it's pretty funny. I'd probably do it.
I'd be
the one to tape it up.
Oh, dude. But you know what, though? That'd be great if one of the female characters had, like, some dude with a huge cock on the wall. And just like someone who had to scratch their dick below their knee just taped next to the girl with the huge titties. Like, that's a power move. Because, like, and again, Matt mentioned in his synopses that Daniel Stern was, like, the hard-on hero here. And again, if that's going to be the character, you need the women to stand up to him a little bit. And so if you just put like, because someone made fun of the fact that he was called Six Pack, right? And so if there was just a dildo called Magnum just sitting around,
exactly.
Like that's what you need. You need someone to stand up.
And we did have a lady stand up to him, Williams, who is also right. Training to be an astronaut. Because, you know, being an underwater, whatever the fuck you are, plus an astronaut seems realistic, you know, in a world where only 10 years off from being able to have a bank account.
Right.
she puts that spider thing under his pillow, which I was so sad the whole time when I first, because today was the first time I've ever watched this. Immediately, I thought it looked like an alien creature. I mean, it's as if they got a prop from off the set of Alien.
It does.
And I was like, oh, shit, this is it. This is the thing that's going to eat everybody or cause the mayhem. No. No, it's just a spider, just a sea spider. And just a, you know, whatever.
And he can dish it out, but he can't take it at all. Sure, like, he can't. Just loses his mind.
I know. Trust me, everyone's a badass till you take it in the butt, right? Like, he's the one who dish it out. He can't take it, though.
Well, it's funny because you could almost go a step forward. The woman is Amanda Pays. It'd be great if she just stood to him and just say, you know, something like, take it if you want it, and he had to back down. Mm-hmm. Because, first of all, I love Daniel Stern.
Yeah.
He's a pleasant addition to everything. And again, we're talking now Christmas time, so I'm thinking, of course, Home Alone in 1 and 2. But he's also great in Chud. He's also great. He directed a previous episode, Rookie of the Year. He's a very funny comedic actor. And frankly, he's the only one bringing comedy this whole movie.
Yeah.
Let him do more. Like, if it was, I mean, he's going to be the one originally affected with, I don't even know if they give it a name. I'm not going to say.
Commie jungle rot.
Okay.
But it's dudes use the phrase jungle rot in there.
They do use the word jungle rot.
That almost feels racist to me, and I don't know why.
It refers like tropical diseases and rashes and things.
Yeah, it's a very like Vietnam era kind of term. You know what I mean?
I mean, this is for boomers. Right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. So.
And so, like, he's the one who, again, Matt said earlier, it's like Abyss. He's the one who goes off this kind of trench, right? He disappears from sight. And they wear these kind of, I mean, aliens with an S, the second Alien movie, like mech suit kind of things. Mm-hmm. They look very much like spacesuits. And, I mean, frankly, the smash cut is the Jesus. There's something wrong with his rebreather, which I thought mattered but doesn't.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if he was really having a tech problem or if he was just having a panic attack.
Doesn't matter. The movie doesn't care.
The point is the doctor is irresponsible because he's off drinking somewhere.
Correct.
I mean, yes, but it would be interesting if that mattered in some way. Like, maybe one of the suits was bad and that's why someone died later. But it really doesn't matter. Other than to say that, you know, Richard kind of shows up with the DT shakes. Halfway through this movie, even though by all accounts, other than what the bad lady says, he seems to be a competent doctor.
Apparently, he engages in medical screw ups. People died, and now that's the only job he can get is living in, you know, a tin can and having everyone needle him about that. Like, you've been wrong before, haven't you, doctor?
And yes, but
you make one bad vaccine, and they never let your living down.
Turns out that monkeypox was something we should have cared about.
Better than bitey fish pox.
That's true.
That's what we start calling this, bitey fish pox. Because that's what it turns everyone into.
It is a bitey fish.
they're going out for, like you mentioned, a silver mining kind of thing. Daniel Stern kind of disappears. He goes down a trench and he finds nothing. Well, at first they think he's dead. He's disappeared off the face of the earth.
And there was much rejoicing.
They're concerned about him. They're worried about him for a bit. And then he comes up with this giant safe thing.
Correct. That he has found off the side of the trench when he stumbled upon this crashed ship. Which they don't know what it is at the time, but the doctor conveniently can speak Russian and knows that it's via a camera. It says Leviathan and suspects that it's been hit by a torpedo. When they look up the Leviathan, they find that it's actually a ship that's still currently in action. So this must not be the same thing, or the Soviets are covering something up.
Well, and amongst the safe, he expects to find treasure because they are silver hunters.
Obviously.
And inside, there's a bunch of Mishigas, including a flask, which is the plot that Matt alluded to earlier. But inside is like a flame-proof lockbox of folders. And in them are medical records. And the doctor who can, you know, suddenly read Russian, I guess from Rambo 2, is just like, oh, this guy's deceased.
Deceased.
This
deceased,
woman's deceased. Deceased, 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 deceased,
yeah.
Deceased, deceased.
Yeah.
And no one bothers to open the folder.
No.
And there's a videotape in there somewhere.
There is. And it's of the captain's log.
My God. Exactly. Turns out there's something with a lot more tentacles than even a hurricane can handle. Oh, come on. Come on.
Hey! I thought it was funny.
I feel like Sulu would be the one to handle him.
Oh,
a tag team.
Yeah, definitely.
So. Captain, there's so many tentacles.
But yep, so they, of course, then they watch the video of the captain's log. And the captain's talking about the fact that all of his people have come down with some kind of tropical illness. And there's something viral and they're yada, yada, yada. And then you see something start to open the back door behind the captain. And then the video goes dead.
And then at some point, someone's watching Six Pack's video of the ruined ship. And there's the skeleton of something in the ship.
That's right. They're able to see the med bay, the infirmary. And the skeleton looks all jacked up. It's not normal.
No, I mean...
not good.
I mean, and again, if you haven't seen Alien, this apes a lot of things. But, like, the reason I like Alien, I like this movie, are there's a lot of, like, the fact that the cast cares about each other. Like, even though Daniel Stern is, like, sporting a major Kevin McAllister hard on here. Like they're all drinking the vodka they find together. And they're, like, dancing around, like... You have to make sure that they care about each other because they care about each other. I mean, Daniel Stern is like a weird perv character, which, fine, we get it. There's a terrible coworker, but like you have to care when he dies. I like the fact that we spend so much time on the process in this movie. Like as characters are running by, they're like, this is this desalinization thing. That might come important later. This is how you close the door, because she's like opening doors while she's jogging. This might come important later. Peter Weller's working on this computer system. He's talking to this lady with a like who looks like Kirstie Alley. She might become important later. Mm-hmm. Like they're doing all the work to set this up. And again, I know this is a ripoff of Alien and Aliens, but they do enough legwork to make me feel like, oh, this is a movie that can exist without it feeling like it's a complete ripoff, which I kind of enjoy. And I also, you know what Alien and Aliens doesn't have? Daniel Stern, and it's not just him, but he's being kind of funny because Daniel Stern is a big goofy character and they're having fun with him. I also kind of love that they admit that Peter Weller is not ready to be the captain, so he's practicing his speeches into a mirror.
And he's actually reading, that was a real book.
Yeah.
Called A Minute to be a Manager.
Yeah, he's gone to the self-help section, and he's trying to be a better captain. And that's really funny.
Yeah, I think it's that he's talking to evil corporate lady or something. He's like, yeah, when we're done here, I want to go back to doing science.
Right. And again, like the other thing just in general I like about Alien and Aliens ripoff that I don't like about, say, Armageddon, they're not the smartest people on the planet. Like, Bruce Willis is supposed to be a genius. But Alien, Aliens, this, they're working class dudes and ladies. Yeah. Like, they're just trying to survive because real life is hard and they're working class people trying to do it. Like, Matt, you were talking about how this is anti-capitalist or anti-corporate. Well, yeah, there was a lot of that stuff in the 80s because corporates were killing us. And so this fit the zeitgeist.
Thank goodness that's all changed.
That's right. Right. Luckily, None of us work in fields that say desperately need more unionization or support from anyone.
God, my fucking eyes are about to bug out of my head.
Yeah, no, education and healthcare, thank God, right? But in general, like, I just like this idea that the corporation is trying to kill them.
And at one point, they bring up union contracts. Like,
yeah,
they're like Peter Weller is lecturing either the boss or someone else in the crew about like the contract.
That is correct. Yeah, they go into the fact of like what hours are allowed to work and whatnot. So
yeah, this whole to do about that.
Oh my God! You know, so let's talk about some other movies that came out this same year. Of 1989. So let's see. I'm looking back. Some other popular movies of this year, and for comparison's sake, not ones that were also very under the sea, space base, which was a very popular thing that year, by the way. We had Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, Batman, Twister, Back to the Future 2.
Wait, Twister's from the 80s?
Yeah.
Let's see if it's the right one, because I thought that, because the one with Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt and the Tornadoes. That was the 90s.
You're right. This one's called Twister, but it is with Harry Dean Stanton. This is not the same movie. It's a drama from 1989. It looks like crap, and it's on Tubi, so you know it is. Let's see, what other great movies do we have from this time? I'm looking for fantasy movies. Oh, All Dogs Go to Heaven. That's such a good movie.
Previous episode.
My God. We also have Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. And to tie into the fact that Ernie Hudson was in this movie, Ghostbusters 2 came out this same year.
Ernie Hudson was sure busy.
He was busy like that year leading up to it in this year. We were talking about, Nick, that Ghostbusters 2 came out this same year, by the way.
Ernie Hudson needs to be in everything.
You're not wrong. He literally could be in everything, and it makes everything better. So.
Well, I just feel bad because even in Ghostbusters 2, he's barely in the fucking movie.
I agree.
Maybe, give him more.
Maybe he was filming this.
Oh, you know what? That's a good point.
Well, I mean, very famously, Eddie Murphy was supposed to be in the role. He dropped out. So they cut him out of the script, and they're just like, we need a black person anywhere. And so in the sequel, he's barely in it. And it's just a shame, because again, Ernie Hudson, fucking class act. Class act!
Agreed.
Yeah.
Now, my next question is, this is a De La Rente's film. Luigi and Argana was the producers. Are they in any relation to, like, the...
De La Rente with all the tea?
Yeah, no, her father's Dino, right? Dino De Laurentiis?
Yeah, this is her uncle.
Oh, so these, okay. All right.
One big happy B-movie family, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess so. But, okay, interesting. Curious.
I mean, there's a 75% chance she was topless in this movie somewhere. We missed it.
Yeah, Bowman.
Trust me, if she was topless, I would have seen it, and the movie would have been better.
Well, we do see Bowman in the shower, but at that point, she's dead and starting to rot.
Mm.
Well, and then the other one has a towel on the whole time.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my goodness, there's the... there's a Leviathan after
there, there's a commie fish a-coming.
It's a me, Mario. Our drunk doctor here is looking at some DNA at some point. Turns out, bad DNA. Daniel Stern is turning into a monsterman. He dies, kind of, sort of.
He dies, but they think he's asleep, and then he starts moving around. Dun, 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 dun.
The doctor starts investigating naked people, which is pretty cool. Because, I mean, it's intercut with other things and not nudity, but also nudity. But we're looking for the answer, which is, can this thing spread or not? And I will say, this is where the movie, to me, in some ways falls apart.
Yes.
In that Alien, it turns out the whole time they know that the xenomorphs could be something. They kind of know they exist, and maybe we can use them and weaponize them in some way. In this way, we're not exactly sure what is happening, but the corporation's like, but what if you just died for no reason? It's not as clear. It's a little bit of sloppy of a ripoff.
Yeah, I was wondering what their angle was. They're afraid of a liability.
Who knows?
I mean, you just blame Six Pack or everything. The idiot went off by himself.
Well, but they don't. Instead, they're just like, but what if more people were infected by this thing? And like, apparently Krenna is talking to other doctors and they don't know what it is.
The World Wide Web. Yes. He's like emailing like the entire medical establishment about his, you know, fish fever.
And this is just random triggered in the back of my head. But like, remember when I think it was Bill O'Reilly, no, Rush Limbaugh was claiming that Al Gore invented the internet. But like, that's what he reads it off like, as though he's reading off keywords for a script that he's about to be mad about. He's like, and it's on the World Wide Web. Because I imagine it's supposed to be set in the not too distant future.
It actually is supposed to be set in 2027. I looked it up.
Can you imagine this happening in 3 years?
Sure.
Yeah, actually, kind of.
Actually, have you looked around lately? Yeah.
Actually, if I could do math, 5 years, but I can't. So, yeah. Science-tician. Yeah. I also love the just in general, but they're like, but what's happening? I don't know. We should lie around half naked in towels until we figure it out. And oh no, an alien tentacle! I will say though, recently my wife and I have rewatched John Carpenter's The Thing. And that's exactly what this is. Like the kind of merged bodies, like the elongated, like gray alien finger things, like kind of reaching out. It's so good. The only thing I would say is we should switch two scenes in that by this point, Daniel Stern is dead. But the woman with the kind of long red Reba McEntire hair, pulling out her own hair, going crazy.
Yeah, it's Bridget Bowman.
We should see her go crazy first because she's the one who actually has the transformation, right? She's in the towel and like, you know, and like her curves start to grow weirdly and her hair's falling out because she's the one evolving while Stern is already dead. I like watching her go crazy as she turns into this alien and then looks at Stern's arm and the pustules are rupturing and the muscles exposed. Like,
yeah, and she's like, nope. She's like, we're done. So she goes into the shower and kills herself. This is, you think.
This is where the movie goes.
Well, she kills herself, but who knows if she stays dead.
She doesn't, because part of this disease / mutation is the regenerative properties that you can, you know, regrow shit and supposedly come back to life and whatnot.
Well, and I dig it. I just, like, I love the doctor kind of wandering through, like, she left the shower on and there's haze everywhere. What's going on? Oh, she killed herself. Isn't that always the way?
I love the fact that he's touching all the blood without gloves. That's my favorite part.
Right, especially when it's like, he knows people are dying of shit.
Yeah, I like the fact that we don't even wear a glove until Ernie Hudson addresses it and he thinks he's getting a prostate exam. Because that's the only time you put on a glove is if you're going to put a finger up a butt.
Well, and also the doc picks up the scalpel that's also bloody. He's like, oh, this is one of mine.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, dude, man, like, someone has turned into mostly a character from SpongeBob. You gotta do something.
Should we start calling him Dr. Nick?
Oh, come on.
Hello, Soviet ship. Hello, killer fish. Somebody laugh.
I'm watching the movie as we're talking about it.
Are you really?
On the wall, it literally just says think.
Oh my gosh.
Just think about that, Matt.
Just think about what you've done.
Think about it. I also like how Richard Crenna is wearing like a hunter's jacket. Like it's like a vest with pockets.
Yeah, like he's going on fucking safari.
Like he's about to go hunt the predator or something. He's like, Peter Wells, like, you know, I am RoboCop. But you know, I mean, if you've seen an alien ripoff, you've seen this. And so now at this point, they're running away from like the monsters. And there's occasionally good scenes, like, and not just because she's naked for no reason in a shower. But like Amanda, Amanda Pays.
Yeah.
She's
Williams.
Like breaking down the shower. She's like washing, like she's having a moment in
And her see-through bra and panties.
It doesn't need to be see-through, but like.
But yet they are.
I mean, it's a strong choice. What can I say?
Yeah. But they were on sale. You couldn't afford not to buy them.
He's Black Friday.
Exactly.
I also love the like the worm thing that's just kind of crawling around. Like, hey guys, how you doing?
Yeah, because like, they put Bowman and Sixpack in a body bag. This thing starts moving around, and then they chuck it into the airlock, and part of it comes off and starts skulking around the ship.
But I do love that they're like, oh, they're dead. Let's toss them into the bottom of the ocean, and people are like, no, they're still alive. And then a tentacle comes out. That's a fucking funny
scene. And everyone's like, never mind, you were right. Chuck him.
Chekhov's monster, because it's going to be back.
Exactly.
But it's, I will say, that's well set up. There are parts of this movie I really like, and then part of it that like delves into being a sci-fi original. And both are fine. It's just, it's like you set out to make Jurassic Park and you made Twister instead. You're like, you're so close to making a great movie. And instead you're like, let's just get stoned, everyone, and watch this together. Like,
yeah. You know, the movie was not great, not awful. It's the fact is that it continually kept changing is what was doing it for me. You know, like, okay, I get it. It's, you know, the guy dies, Sixpack dies, and it's very zombie-esque, and then he's coming back to life. And then I'm like, okay, I can deal with that. And then they're like, but then this other creature's like, I need to join you, and we'll make one giant thing. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's a thing, apparently. And then in another scene where it kills, you know, Michael, my guy, and, you know, it turns into this fish creature, and now it's super strong because he's able to fucking break out through a fucking door. I'm like, okay, so now we are a zombie melting multi-person fish creature that can also has super strength and can break through doors. And it then remembers where the blood and plasma stores. So now it is a sentient smart, can absorb memories with super strength. Like, it just keeps adding shit on. I felt very much like there's a syndrome for this. It's called the Moffat syndrome. And it's where you just keep building shit on top of things until it gets so fucking big, there is no way to go back. The crescendo happened way too early in the piece, and now it's just fucking big for the rest of the damn episode. It's
Peter Weller's No Good, Horrible, Very Bad Day.
Right. Well, and I'm just I'm like, how much more shit can this monster be?
Maybe it's just start singing.
No, but like, you just nailed why this movie isn't great, which is that it's effectively turns into Spaceballs by the end, where it could
say
sing.
Ah.
No, where it could sing Hello My Baby. So there's two ways to do it. You either do something absurd up front and then build off of it, or you have a slow build, and this movie can't pick a tempo.
Yeah.
Case in point, after they try to smoosh the Daniel Stern thing, and we have that tentacle left.
Yeah.
It looks like someone took a piece of, like, skirt steak and draped it over an animatronic finger, right? Because it's just a thing that mildly pulsates, right? But then, and they're like, okay, so that's the level of special effects we're going to get. The next scene is Hector Elizondo looking dangerously at a flask and then tips the flask. And nothing happens. If the movie could pick a pace, there'd be an alien worm thing that falls out, or a leech, or something.
Is that when it buries itself in his chest?
No, there's nothing in the flask. He dumps it out. It's empty. That's what I'm saying. You need to keep a pace. And if it was this tentacle thing, like, where the fuck did it come from? And then a little one comes out of the flask. You're building tension. But instead he's
the worm at the bottom of the tequila bottle from hell.
But that's not in the movie. That's what I'm saying. Like, keep up the tempo. Because otherwise it's just Ernie Hudson mildly, like, talking to Amanda Pace, to Willie, right? Saying, like, so you think we're going to make it? No one knows. Hector Elizondo's not sure. But we're down to five people. And the tension is gone. That's the one thing they get right in Aliens. There's always a threat of the xenomorph coming. There's not here. They lose track of it for long bits of time. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the Jesus is infected, right? And his death, pretty cool. But it also comes out of nowhere. At this point, we shouldn't be surprised anymore. We should be building the terror.
Yeah. No, and so, but instead, now we've revealed another special power it has, which is super strength. Smash through a fucking door. And I'm like, come on. Why is this the case?
But again, just if you picked a tempo and it was super strong the whole time, that'd be kind of cool. Because when DeJesus is dying and he's like tearing the cables out of the wall, and for some reason the ship is bleeding, doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
But it's kind of cool. Actually,
they had ketchup on tap at all times.
Could you imagine the luxury?
It's in the contract.
It's in the contract. It's part of our union agreement is that we need to have ketchup on tap at all times.
That's why I'm a proud member of the AFL-CIO. Ketchup everywhere, and also the Dijonist of mustards.
Yeah.
And Ernie Hudson's like, hey, Hector Elizondo, watch this guy who's turning into a monster. I'm going to get the doctor. Meanwhile, what's-her-name is running, going on a light jog past blood-colored walls because she's not in the movie until she needs to be.
Well, because she's busy preparing to be an astronaut, honey.
Oh. And meanwhile, the water.
You know what the most important thing about astronauts is?
What?
How they can run.
Obviously.
And meanwhile, while she's jogging over the conveniently deep pits of water, something's in the water.
Yes. And then Mulder and Scully show up and say, my God, Mulder, it looks like there's an alien here.
Exactly.
You think, Scully?
Oh, God, help me. I'm going to watch some X-Files after this, like that ice episodes where they're getting old on a submarine.
Oh, that's a good one.
I know, right? Or that one where they're in Canada and they're cutting down trees and oh my God, there's like bugs that are killing people.
You know, that's my scariest episode.
I know, right? That's why you work for Orcon now.
It's true.
And then Ernie Hudson yells at shorter people and then all of a sudden, oh my God, there's an alien! Okay. I also love evil. I will say, though, I'm a sucker for like, in the Cold War, the Russians were doing experiments they don't understand. And you're like, oh my God, could they be aliens? We don't know. Could be. And then a tentacle just kills Hector Elizondo.
It does. And then, of course, we realize that shit is going wrong. The aliens cut power to the station so that they're going to implode.
That's right.
Because of oxygen and whatnot. And
the doctor has just chucked all the escape pods.
Yeah, the doctor's like, you know, listen.
We need to die.
He knows that this thing can't get to the surface. And, you know, I got to tell you, he's right.
Yeah.
He's 100% right. And so he's like, I'm just going to send these on up. And, you know, the fate we meet is it is what it is. But it saves the human race.
Well, maybe.
Is there a sequel to this?
No.
There could be.
Yeah, we're getting a little bit ahead of us. If all the little monster bits from the end just kind of sink down and like, get eaten by a whale. Well, and no, Leviathan 2, now it's a Godzilla.
Well, I mean, it could swim up there.
Well, and it could be just that any of them. Who's like Ernie Hudson was infected the whole time. He just wasn't showing symptoms yet.
Right, but he didn't make it to the... Spoiler alert for those of you who haven't
it's
watched
it. It's a weird show. Ending. It's a yeah. very.
It's weird. I was like, oh, great. I was like, the three of them made it. And then.
Then Jaws then 4
then sharks show up. I was like, what the fuck is happening? And then the monster shows up. There's monsters and a shark and a helicopter. Again, it's just. Yeah, it's the Moffat syndrome. Yeah, like, stop fucking adding stuff. We're done.
It was.
It was fine with what you had.
Well, it was the six pack Bowman critter they flushed. Looks like they didn't get rid of it all.
Yeah, but who gives a shit? She's right. Like, it's you know what happens at the end of Die Hard? He goes, Merry Christmas, and the car pulls away. You don't need anything else. Like if the Coast Guard was there at the top. It's a fine movie because otherwise you just end up with this scenario wherein like Richard, like, and first of all, we get it. Krenna is like, I'm fine, guys, get away. And then he holds his hand up and that fucking mouth comes out of his hand because again, this movie saw the John Carpenter Thing movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the Thing, I watched it about a month ago.
Just so you know,
incredible.
I've never seen that movie. I've never seen that, but when I was watching this earlier and Chris sat and watched it with me and he immediately said the same thing. He goes, this is a ripoff of The Thing. And I was like, I don't know what that is. And he was like, get your life together. Watch it.
That's a supportive husband.
Thank you. Well, he had to go to work. So he told me to do it before I left, but he didn't know I had to watch X-Files too. So,
oh, well,
yeah, boy, smart choices, huh?
Right. Also, if you haven't seen this, there's a really, again, previous movie, previous episode that came out almost a decade out of this called Deep Rising.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
No.
See that too.
When
I clicked on a movie synopsis of this movie, it gave me the, for me to watch the Deep Rising and for riffs and yeah. the Starship Six or whatever and da da da. And I was like, what is all 70? It was like, it's all the same damn thing.
Deep Rising, directed by the same guy who did Mortal Kombat.
Oh.
It has so much fun with it because the movie starts out with a bunch of like pirate types. Like, we're going to rob this luxury cruise with all these wealthy people. And they jump on board and Xenia on a top from GoldenEye, like fucking choke strangling sex people.
What?
And then all of a sudden, a sea monster shows up and starts killing the pirates.
Sounds great.
The first death is a tentacle coming out as someone sitting on a toilet, and they pull their skeleton out of their body into the toilet.
Deep.
And we're there, and it's Treat William, Famke Janssen, and Wes Studi, and you're just like, I guess people are dying on the toilet.
And the climactic one-liner of Deep Rising, that's not something you see every day, I think is better than this one. Say, ah, motherfucker.
Yeah, and that was so dumb.
It was silly.
Especially me, man.
And again, the problem is, I don't...
That was kind of an ass pull, because it didn't seem to be really the type to give one-liners and kill things.
He wasn't. Well, that was not recommended in his management book.
I will say, too, this movie feels like it was not only filmed on a Universal soundstage. Like, if you went to Universal theme parks in the 90s, you could have just seen, like, this movie be recreated in real time.
Definitely.
But also...
That would be a cool ride, you know.
There was rides like this. If you went to MGM, like, the Hollywood Studio ride...
Yeah.
I mean, specifically Leviathan ride. You're, like, riding around a submarine and stuff.
But I'm saying, in that MGM movie ride, the Xenomorph came out and attacked your
thing. Yeah, that's one reason I like that ride.
I mean, RIP, it's long gone. But
that's
like,
right. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Rail Train.
Which has cool tech in it, but is not an exciting ride.
True.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Now we got another Bob back. Maybe we can get a scary ride again.
That's right. I'm hoping.
You know, he was a big fan of the original Alien ride that was there.
Alien something.
Extraterrestrial Alien
Encounters. Yeah, it was amazing. It was fantastic. And of course, now it is a Lilo and Stitch. Garbage a Stitch garbage. Encounter. But it's that used to be
that
so
movie
good,
that
y'all.
No one ever saw.
That was legit scary.
Yeah.
Hey, Disney people, if you somehow own the rights to this one too, do a Leviathan ride. You're in like a little submarine, and then this animatronic tentacles will grab at you and stuff. That would
they
be so cool.
They may well. Is this not 20th Century Fox?
It is 20th Century Fox.
Yeah, then it is.
Assuming Avatar doesn't destroy them.
Right. And I'm looking up the Deep Rising. I love the fact that the front cover looks...
The porno parody or the real one?
The real one that looks almost just exactly like Leviathan. And it's like, hey, do you like this movie? Here's some other movies you might like. Leviathan, The Mummy, Van Helsing, and Judge Dredd.
Because it's directed by Stephen Sommer, the guy who did the Brendan Fraser Mummy movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
it's just as sexy, because it's Famke Janssen, like, I'm here to seduce you.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the end of this movie involves, well, if you've seen Alien, this is the same thing. Like, literally, there's a guy in a mech suit trying to kill a xenomorph.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, DeJesus doctor monster gets its head caught in the airlock when they close it and crush its head.
Right.
Yes.
And then if that wasn't enough, the thing implodes behind them.
It does.
But there was Chekhov's monster. That was because that was when they flushed.
Well, and again, it blows up like we're watching a Star Trek movie, and it blows up like we're watching a bad... I mean, it's just... I don't hate this movie, but if I'm being a film critic, it looks like everything else that exists at the time. The difference is this movie is a skosh under 100 minutes, which wins it some points because it's tight, but it also means that everything is slightly cheaper. And so, like, to get the impact at the end, explosion, explosion, Daniel Stern's face, explosion, other people's faces, and you're just like... I don't know what I'm supposed to be feeling right now. Because when the ship explodes, there's 10 minutes almost till the end. And you're just like, so it'd be great if they hit the surface and the movie was over. Because that's how the Alien movies ends. Once, like, Sigourney Weaver thinks she's killed the thing. But right as she's about to go into the sleep chamber, the alien comes back. There's one last scuffle. But when she closes the thing, movie's over. They're rising to the surface. You're thinking it's over. But there's 10 minutes left of a 90-minute movie. Yeah. That's a tenth of the movie left.
What I love is the fact that once they get to the top and then they get in that helicopter, it's literally like 2 minutes to that giant fucking station where they could have, like, gone up at any time and just stayed there if they're being hunted by a fucking creature.
If you wanted the last thing, Peter Weller punching a woman in the face,
yeah,
get to it quicker. Because, like, they rise to the surface, they see the Coast Guard. They should wave at the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard sees them, and then they're punching a woman in the face. If that's the strong choice you want to make at the end, you don't need to wait. Because then it becomes open sea for a second. And there's like, is that a shark? It's not a shark. Oh, no. It's nonsense. All of a sudden.
No. In fact, it was a shark plus nonsense. It was both. There was a shark. They were punching a shark and a monster.
We're at Universal Studios, and there's all of a sudden this thing attacking us, and we don't know what to do. Oh, no!
Yeah.
Shoot it in the head with a flare gun.
Oh, God. And again, like, as you mentioned, Ernie Hudson's going to bite it. But at the end, he's, like, floating on the surface, and you're just like, oh, no, was he gotten? Is he going to be infected? And he's just like, no, man, I just needed a breather because oh, no, a monster! And then they're fighting a kaiju like it's the end of a bad Godzilla film. This movie. And again, they also have real B footage of, like, great white sharks. And you're just like, this movie can't end. I mean, it really does feel like someone was tapping their watch and they're like, we're not going to make it to the commercial break unless something with the head of a barracuda is going to attack this woman in bikini top.
Yeah. Like,
it's really something. And there's not really nudity throughout this. I almost thought, like, there was going to be, like, a Barana 3DD for a second. Like, because she's like, oh, no! And this thing is, like, grabbing at her chest. It's nuts. And the Coast Guard also apparently is unarmed because they're saving people from the water. But they're like, we better get her out of the water before this thing gets her.
Well, I mean, have you met the Coast Guard?
I mean, thank you for your service.
Yeah. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
At the end of this ends with Peter Weller throwing a grenade that he has into this monster's mouth. Mm-hmm. The Coast Guard guy's saying, fuck yeah, get out of here. And then a fish explodes. And then he punches a woman in the face.
Yeah, done. And then the credits roll. And then you go, what? Just like that. And there's no end scene credit. You don't have to worry about a CGI tropical setting where you're in a boat. That doesn't exist in this movie.
No.
Yeah, unlike other movies I've been triggered by.
A sexually aggressive scene where Willie is being just railed by
David Duchovny.
Yeah. Oh. David Duchovny goes, don't worry, I'll take care of this. Wham, 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 wham.
Yeah.
Sex Files.
Oh, shit.
Or Californication.
Girl. So, final judgments. Candace, what do you think?
Well, I can't, in the classic myopia thing, I can't look back and go, this is what I thought about this movie now compared to when I originally watched it, you know, 30 years ago. Because I didn't watch it back then. I would have been let's see, what's 9 minus 2, 7? So I would have been 7 years old when this movie came out. I didn't watch it then. I didn't see it until today. It's not great. It's not awful. It's exactly what I would expect to see if I was flipping through the TV and it was on TNT. You know, I would probably leave it on there. Fine. Fine as a background film. Is it something I would spend a lot of money on? Absolutely not. Is it something I would probably watch again? Yeah. I mean, not purposefully. If it, you know, I wouldn't be upset if it were on, but... Overall, I'm going to give it a strong 5 out of 10. It's middle of the road.
It was better when I saw it on TNT or whatever when I was about 10 than it was now. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's the classic myopia.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad, but it's not really great either. I mean, if you want to watch it, it's free on Tubi TV as of now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always a good old $2.99 on Amazon rental.
I will disagree with Matt's wet noodle response. I kind of enjoyed this. Like, I'm a sucker for alien movie clones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't get a lot of points for originality.
No.
But I like the cast that did this. Like,
no, the cast is fantastic. I mean, it should have been a 9 out of 10 movie.
Yeah.
Based solely on the cast. But then you read the script and you look at the sets and you're like, wait a minute, I think we're copying someone. That's when you're like, okay, this goes down a few points.
Well, and for my lovely friend here, it's almost better if it was closer to an alien script because then it feels more like a shadow cast, right?
Yeah.
Just with different actors.
Oh, yeah.
Right, like, I mean, and again, Sigourney Weaver, thumbs up. But, like, a lot of the other ones, you're like, well, Yaphet Kotto's good, but I like Daniel Stern. I like, you know, Richard Crenna. Like, it's almost like make it either closer or instead of aliens, it's... like Event Horizon, they've accidentally uncovered hell. Or, like, you know, you change it just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I mean, I will build off of what you said. This screams, like, it's Sci-Fi Channel and it's, like, a Friday afternoon. Not night, but a Friday afternoon and you're just watching it. And I'm right there. Like,
yeah.
I thought this was perfectly a fine movie. It's just that we've seen the better version, so I'm poking fun at it. But... this is fun. Like, I had nothing wrong with this. And so, for the rest of you out there in TV land, if you can find it, like Matt said, it's on Tubi, which is, I'm sure, barely legally, but also owned by the mafia or something. So, you know, you're fine. You're there.
Fine.
But otherwise, if you're not, Kina Lorber, one of those guys... put it out in 4K because I'd get it just to watch it like a polished up version because it's creepy and sweaty. Daniel Stern like wearing that like tank top that he's wearing and sweating. Like, yeah, no, I get it. I get it that a woman is like showering in a see-through bra and you're just like, but it's a bra so you can't see. No, we can see everything. You're fine. Just do it. Do it like it's a sleazy HBO movie in 1983.
Mm-hmm.
You're there already.
It's a very Taxi Cab Confessions.
Right. Go for
it. Is David Duchovny in it?
Better film.
But speaking of, we're just about out of time. So if you're here and you're family, and we love you.
Thanks.
Last week, we saw Daniel Stern already in City Slickers. So next week,
that's a good movie.
We're sticking to more sweaty men, and we're doing Killer Workout, or alternate title... Death Spa, where a serial killer is going around a 1980s health club and murdering people with a giant pin. Real. So stay tuned next week and every future you can put your past on trial. And just based on the sheer level of intense arousal I see, Candace might be back when we do Death Spa.
Right. I need to know more.
Love you guys. Thanks.
Bye.